Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And we are back again. See, told you we wouldn't leave you hanging.
Not for long.
Last week we did Back to the Good Stuff. That's what we call it. Now this is like Extravaganza Part 2. We went over some of our favorite sci-fi shows and we ran out of time. So now we're going to come back to that and we're going to finish out the show that we had planned for the other show for last week. We're gonna finish that out as our main segment today. But before we do that, Bear, what's the website?
That would be exppoints.com. Double tap that P.
We also have social media, Google+, YouTube, Facebook.com/experiencepoints is our Facebook page. Go ahead and check us out. Like us, subscribe to us on YouTube, YouTube.com/TheExpPoints channel. Bear, what did you do this week? What have you been up to?
Man, what did I do this week? I watched Jurassic Park, I'll tell you that. I love me some dinosaurs, man.
All three of them or just the one?
Well, we just watched the one because my roommate went over to Hawaii where they filmed a lot of it. And so he was really excited when we got back and we watched that this week. And I'm getting pumped up for Spider-Man coming out. We're going to see that tomorrow.
I have to go see the first Amazing Spider-Man. I still haven't seen it.
I do also. The plan is I'm going to pick that up tomorrow before the show, watch the first Amazing Spider-Man, then go see the new one and nerd out about it next week.
Awesome. Yeah, all binge watching Spider-Man or Iron Man. Those are always the best types of binge watching ever. Did you do anything else? Did you play any games? Did you do some cool stuff? You just geeked out with Spider-Man-ness?
Yeah, a little bit of Spider-Man stuff. I actually started reading that comic you got me about Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that's awesome. Omnibus. Omnibus Volume 1.
Sadly,
they only made one. So.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
And I played a little bit of Crash Bandicoot because you got to bust that out every now and then.
Oh, yeah. Just the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think the first one was probably... It's probably my second favorite. The second one was really good.
I like the second one better than the first, to be honest. But yeah, not good, not bad.
No, not bad at all.
I still had Crash Bandicoot back then.
I played a little bit more of Infamous Second Son, and that was pretty good. I resolved an issue with my PSN account, so I was able to actually log in and.
You had to stop hacking, didn't you?
Yeah. No, they don't really like when you hack. But I start. You know what? The joke in the IT world now, at least at Southeastern, is I'm blaming everything on Heartbleed. So when they're like, why was the server down? Now I know the server was down because we rebooted a switch or whatever. Okay, no, it's Heartbleed. Oh, well, you know, but now everything, ridiculous things are starting to be Heartbleed's fault. Like, man, the Coke machine ate my money. Heartbleed. Oh, you know, she wouldn't pick up her phone. Oh, no, Heartbleed got her. You know?
I
actually picked up some Parasite Eve, played Parasite Eve. That was our retro game last week. Played a little bit more of that. Going to be posting some Let's Plays or some walkthroughs with that. Went ahead and played a little bit of some Dreamcast titles because I want to work up a Dreamcast, best of Dreamcast spot. But
basically anything that came out for Dreamcast?
Dude, there were some bad things for Dreamcast. I don't know what you were on, but it wasn't all rainbows. But you know what? A lot of it was.
Maybe that's just how I want to remember it.
I think, you know what? I would be willing to bet that for its time of life, you know, 1999 to, I believe, 2001 is when it officially sort of died. It did more. It had better games than it did bad games. And I feel like, you know, the proportion or quality of games in that time was much better than any game system past that, Dreamcast or PC or PlayStation or whatever. You'll always have a ton of bad games and you know, a subset, an extreme subset of good games. But yeah, other than that, went to the beach. I don't go outside much.
Wow, geeks outside. What's up with that?
Yeah. Well, no, I've been going outside more because I picked up Ingress. I've been playing Ingress a little bit more.
So it's been encouraging you to go outside.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Ingress it's only on Android currently because it's developed by Niantic, which is really Google, and it's this augmented. Yeah, I know. I really like Ingress because. The only problem that I really find is that there are spots where there's nothing, and there are spots where there's too much, like super congestion. Ingress is a game, augmented reality game, where you go out in the world, and there are these GPS coordinates that, when you look on your phone, you see a grid, and I'll post a screenshot or something in the show notes, but you see these portals. The portals are either open or contested. Or I guess contested is the wrong word. It's blue or it's green. I guess that's the way to say it. And you're blue or you're green. And if it's not blue or green and it's white, then you can claim it for your side. The goal is to get a lot of portals, to connect portals into triangles, make Doritos. Okay,
so this is actually really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. And it's free to play if you have an Android device. If you want to check it out, I guess just Google Ingress. I'll have some in the show notes for you. But I really, really enjoy playing this because on Southeastern's campus, there's a ton of portals. So like right after work, before I go home, I'll like walk around and I'll capture all the portals that I can, and you level up. So
yeah. Oh, so how do you capture a portal? Do you just have to stay there for a while?
Yeah, it's, you know, we probably have an entire segment on this, but yeah, the idea is that you go buy it and you hack it. By hacking it, you get an item and you develop an inventory. Some of these items are used to attack that portal. So if it's a contested portal or you don't own it, if somebody else owns it, like another faction, there's two factions, the Enlightened and the Resistance, whatever, blue and green. If you're blue and they're green and the portal's green, then you can use something called a burster. And it will attack all of these, they're called resonators. It's like 7 or 8 items that just hang around a portal to keep it powered. You can level up the resonators on your own team. You can put shields on it. There's a bunch of items that buff and help these little portals. And then you link portals. So if you have the ability to, if you have like portal keys is what they're called, they're really just kind of... I guess ways to talk to certain portals adjacent to the portal that you have. If your portal is strong enough, you can talk to and create a link between two portals. And then when you link so many portals together so that they create a triangle field and it's closed in, then you get more points. And globally, your team benefits from it. So it's a big game. I've been playing that. Anyway.
Games like this are going to be really cool once Google Glass goes public.
I know, right? I really like the idea of being able to put a portal outside someplace and people will go there to capture the portal, and you've effectively made it so people move from one place to the other. Like, you've given them incentive in real life. So
this is how Geek Girl lose weight.
Put it outside of a restaurant during lunchtime. People show up. I'm hungry. Go inside, capture the portal, leave. Do it every week because it's, you know, it'll continuously. There's a lot of turnover with that. But yeah, so I went to the beach. I went to Ship Island in Mississippi, and it was overcast. I made the mistake of not putting on sunscreen. And
mistake of going out during the day.
My face feels like parchment paper. Like, it feels like an Egyptian text. It's really, really dry and flaky, and it's bad, but whatever. Anyway, that was my weekend. Yeah, I played a little bit of WoW. Yeah, that was cool.
I'm still kicking it around whether or not I should get WoW again.
I would say, you know what, if you have no – they're doing this thing where you can level up a character to 90 if you pre-order the next expansion. And I'll probably pre-order it because I don't think the price is going to go up or go down or whatever. So whenever I get the money, whenever I get the money, I'll just do it, and I'll pick a character that I don't have at 90, and I'll boost it to 90. And if you don't want to take the time before then to kind of get back into WoW, you know, like get back in the WoW spirit or whatever, then I would recommend, yeah, maybe get it and boost a character up. But if you really want to get back into the WoW spirit, now's the time. Because, I mean, you probably won't have a lot of time in between now and Warlords. You'll have to really dedicate a lot of time to it. I'm just playing it, you know, an hour here, an hour there, just to get this one character that's like an 86 up to 90. But I don't know. I would pick it back up. It's fun. If you ever thought it was fun, I think it's only going to get better. But there is, and this is a separate topic altogether, we may go ahead and spawn a few other shows off of this, but there's a difference between a sandbox MMO like EVE.
Yeah, you mentioned this last week.
And the theme park, yeah. And that's something that I feel like we should really go into, because I have a couple people that have played multi-boxes on both of them that I feel he would be really a good resource to talk with him about that. But yeah, so I played WoW. There is a new game that I'm playing. It's actually a mod for Portal 2. It's called Thinking with Time Machines. I am really, really enjoying that. You can essentially control yourself. It's like, not Super Meat Boy, but it's like the Swapper with the portal gun. If you've ever played the Swapper, then you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, then I'll put a Let's Play or I'll record some video. Anyway, I'm ranting.
Yes, Matt, you're ranting. You never rant. What are you doing?
I rant it all the time. this is becoming what did Picard say? I'm not entitled to ramble on. anyway.
Long, unending sentence.
I'm the captain. I'm entitled. Nope. So that's what we did this week.
Shut up, Wesley.
And that's what we, those were our websites and social media things. We're going to go ahead and cut to the song. This is The Geeks Will Inherit the Earth by I Fight Dragons. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about our retro game. What's the retro game, Bear?
That would be Excitebike. Yeah, get excited.
Excitebike is pretty awesome.
I'm excited.
Anyway, I'm MG.
Hi, Red Bear.
And you are listening to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was The Geeks Will Inherit the Earth by I Fight Dragons. We're going to break into our retro game. This is Excitebike for the Nintendo. Some people call it Famicom, and that's the Japanese version. This
for
came
people
out,
not in America.
Non-Americans. Also, it's really just the Japanese. It's
people not in America.
The Brazilians didn't call it, like, the Famicom. They also didn't call it Excitebike. Which was the Japanese, you know, like, pronunciation. Anyway, this came out in 1994 in Japan, 1995 as a launch title for the U.S. version of the Famicom, the Nintendo. This is the regular Nintendo, the actual NES. This game, I don't know, this game was pretty awesome, right?
Oh, man, I love this game. In fact, actually, I remember still playing this at daycare.
Daycare, wow, yeah.
At daycare, that's, yeah, that brings me back.
Somebody was privileged they had a Nintendo at daycare. That's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
That's what's up. You should have gone to my daycare, son. I was hustling the fish sticks and playing Excitebike.
Excitebike was one of those games where I feel like I never owned it, but I played it all the time. And I felt the same way with the original Zelda. I never owned the original, like, gold cartridge Zelda, but I feel like I've played it all the time. And I feel like I know I've beaten it before, you know, like, ROMs were a thing.
Right.
So, Excitebike, I'm not sure you could actually beat Excitebike. I know it had three modes. It had the solo mode where you would just jump and land and not fall off, hopefully. And then it had the NPC mode where you could, like, race with all these other jerks that would intentionally try to, like, kick you off your bike. And then you'd have to, like, I remember mashing the buttons to try to get back on the bike, and I could never do it. I'm like, come on, go, get back on. And he would just take forever. And I'm like, I'm losing the race.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing, I think, was the design feature. You could make your own tracks in this game.
Yep. Very early days for level design on your own.
Yep. It did have a direct sequel. This was Excitebike 64.
Yeah, no one cared.
No. The Excite Truck and Excite Box Trick what? Racing. It was really, really crazy. But we do have a re-release. This was Excitebike World Rally and Excitebike, the 3D Classic on WiiWare. So you could play that on WiiWare. Also, the original was released on the Nintendo eShop in 2011. I think it sells for like $7, $6, something like that. But
yeah, something like that.
There were a couple different versions of this game, though. There was a Versus Excitebike, and this was based around the Versus Unisystem. We're not really going to go into that too much. I want to talk about this one. This was Excitebike. I'm not making this up. Excitebike Bun Bun Mario Battle Stadium.
What? I did not play this one.
Excitebike Bun Bun Mario Battle Stadium was, or also called BS Excitebike.
Let's go with BX Excitebike.
BS Excitebike. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Also called Mario Excitebike. It's a video game for the Satellaview. It was a Japanese-only console, and it was a remake of the game. So instead of having, like, the guys in the jerseys, like the jockeys in the jerseys, on their bikes, you had like Peach and Wario and Toad and Koopa Troopas and Mario and Luigi.
Okay, so it's a reskinned version of the game.
Yeah, yeah, and as far I don't believe this. I've never heard of the Satellaview. It's weird. I know they did add some other things. They gave it, like, super mode where you could have infinite turbo. Remember, turbo was awesome. You could also have, like, coins, which were a new addition, because Excitebike didn't really have coins. But they did the same thing that they did in Mario Kart. They increased the top speed of, like, the racers. So that was pretty neat. And yeah, that's pretty much all we have to say about Excitebike. I mean,
honestly, that's pretty much Excitebike. It was not a complicated game, but it was one of those games that you could just sit down and play and have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all we really have to talk about is fond memories of Excitebike. Incidentally, I looked up the Satellaview. It's the Satellaview is a satellite modem attachment for the Super Nintendo that was in Japan. It's this huge It's this huge double decker. Well, Japan was always ahead of the curve. Well, it was. It used to be ahead of the curve technology wise. This was essentially this way to get internet connectivity on the Super Nintendo, which I guess was a thing in Japan. But yeah, pretty crazy. Anyway, that's Excitebike.
Ridiculous.
Well, you know what? I couldn't find any songs with Excitebike in it, so we don't really have any good songs. I guess I said I was sunburnt, so I'm gonna segue the best way I know how, and I'm gonna say that the only thing I haven't tried, I've tried aloe vera, I've tried lotion, I've tried hot showers, which that's not the answer, by the way.
Terrible idea.
Cold showers, which I'm not cool with either. Not going out in the sun, I couldn't get to work. Going out in the sun, bad idea. I have not tried rubbing bacon on it, so we're gonna listen to the song.
There you go.
Rub Some Bacon On It by Rhett and Link. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You were listening to Experience Points, and that was Rub Some Bacon On It by Rhett and Link. Some
Solves
advice.
All your problems.
I need to take this advice because, again, my arms and my legs, my back's fine. That's the only thing that's okay. My back, my face is messed up. I've got a messed up
face,
Bear.
Well, there's nothing that bacon's going to do for that, Matt.
Oh, well, I need to go talk to a plastic surgeon, I guess. So, yeah, this is Extravaganza Part 2. Part 1 was called Back to the Good Stuff, where we talked about our favorite, and not necessarily our favorite, I guess just some of the top sci-fi
just
shows.
Just some good sci-fi, man.
Yeah, we took a chronological approach to...
But that's really just like our opinions, man.
Well, you know, our opinions, the internet's opinions, I mean, it's a lot of opinion.
When you get enough opinion in there, it becomes fact, right?
I think that's the general consensus. I mean, yeah, I'm going to go with that. Anyway, we left off, and we missed some of the best modern science fiction shows. I mean, we didn't even hit Farscape. But what was the last one? Do you remember the last one we talked about?
I know what we were going to talk about, but we ran out of time because it got too real.
We left off on Stargate SG-1. That's the one we left off on, I think.
Okay, I think, yeah, we talked about SG-1.
Yeah, we talked about X-Files, Sliders, and then SG-1 was the last one, I think. So we're going to break into it. And again, these are in no particular order. And like we said last show, if we don't talk about your favorite sci-fi show, we're sorry. We don't mean to offend or anything. Just go to the Facebook and you can go ahead and drop us a line and tell us, hey, yo, you left, I don't know, Lex. God forbid you like that show, but
I'm sorry.
We left Lex
Dollhouse.
Out. Dollhouse. Well, okay, so hold on. Dollhouse wasn't that bad.
When you say I have to say it like that, it was that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
It was that bad.
You know, Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles or whatever. If we left those out and you think they should be on our list, that's fine. Go to the website, check it out, and or go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/experiencepoints, and just put a little post on our page telling us we're dumb and this is what we should do. So there, I said it. Let's go ahead and break into it. Bear.
Let's do this.
Farscape. It's from 99 to 2003. I think it had like seven seasons, maybe? Five seasons? I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. It was awesome.
I think it had four seasons now. Four seasons, two-part movie, the Peacekeeper Wars movie. Did you watch all of Farscape?
I did watch all of Farscape. You know what my favorite part about Farscape was?
What?
The ship.
Oh,
pilot.
The ship?
The ship plus pilot.
You know what my favorite thing about Farscape was?
No, what was your favorite thing about Farscape, Matt?
Everything.
What?
I remember watching Farscape. I stopped watching Farscape. I didn't actually. I missed
Why
it because.
Why would you do that?
Well, okay. So I made a joke earlier about Lex. I thought Farscape was Lex. I remember seeing that sci-fi.
You're losing me.
Sci-fi put the series Lex, which was this weird like sexploitation sci-fi show or whatever. It put this show Lex in close proximity on the TV guide to Farscape. And I misunderstood it as a
kids.
You know,
do you remember what TV guides were?
It was before you could have a guide button. So yeah, I mistook it for being the same show. So I missed it until it was almost completely over. I think it was in its third season whenever I started watching it. But I caught up, and it's fantastic. It's the story of American astronaut
clearly John? You love the show. Yes, yes.
Was it John?
Like 90% sure.
John Crichton. No, I remember that. It was John Crichton. So John Crichton is an American astronaut. He's a scientist. He's doing this wormhole research, and he ends up going through a wormhole and going to the other side of the galaxy or whatever, the other side of the universe. And there are things like look like people called Sebastians, but they're like super strong and super hot if you're talking about Claudia Black.
We are.
So
I forgot about Claudia Black being in this show. There you go. That's the reason. Black. Stop listening to us. Go watch it now. Claudia Black's in it. We can't beat that.
So John like falls into the middle of this like prison break. There's this ship called Moy. It's a living ship. There's all of these puppets on this ship.
They used puppets.
There was a
it
puppet.
Was
it
was awesome.
It was the Jim Henson puppeteers, and it was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
There's a bunch of these runaways. These fugitives. They're trying to run away from this prison, and he just gets caught up in all this like politics and all of this other drama and everything. And it's really his kind of struggle and adventure to kind of get home.
Yeah.
And
that's what made the first few episodes so awesome, is he just shows up and suddenly he's in the middle of all this.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing to really explain. He's just there. And
happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And now
up is down, right is down, left is up. Things don't make any sense on the other side of the galaxy, but it makes for a fantastic show. And the crazy thing is that he gets what he wants at some point. He does eventually like go home. I'm not spoiling anything. Like he goes home, but it's like the fact that the relationships that he built up and everything, it's fantastic how they played out on this show. I highly recommend
it.
It's one of the best shows I think that, you know, especially this generation of sci-fi watchers could go and watch if you haven't seen it. Really cool. So four seasons, and it kind of ended on a cliffhanger. The Peacekeeper Wars is a two-part to DVD movie that kind of summarized and finalized and finished off where the fourth season's left off. That tied things up. I mean, that was a pretty good ending, I guess. But there's actually another movie in the works. The creator has confirmed it, that there is a Farscape movie, and I mean like a big budget movie, like going to the theater, going to the movie place for this Farscape movie. So I am extremely happy about that. Next up,
speaking of series that end with movies,
I have a feeling I'm going to make enemies talking about this show.
I have a feeling you just made at least one because way you said that.
No, I hope I can justify it. Firefly, right?
Was one of the best shows ever made, period. Thank you, Josh Whedon.
Firefly lasted from 2002 to 2003. It was canceled before the end of its first season. It really only got like 12 episodes out, and I don't even think all 12 aired. Only like 10 of them aired. Now I own before I give my thoughts on this.
Your incorrect thoughts.
It is a fantastic show. It was so fantastic that unbeknownst with little real reason, they canceled this really, really great show. Now they had reason, you know.
I can tell you the reason.
What was the reason?
This is not one of the shows that you can just watch an episode and know what's going on. It has an overarching theme, right?
I mean, it does.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I'm right, because I mean, you know, you have the doctor and his daughter and his sister. They come on board and stuff like that. Blah, blah blah. Anyway, the Fox Network did not air the episodes in order, so things were happening to them that didn't make any sense.
Oh, okay.
And so there was low viewership because no one knew what was going on.
Ah, well, that explains things a little bit better. Yeah, that kind of catches me up. I still think my opinions are going to annoy you, but I think it's okay.
Are.
I think it's okay. For those that don't know, it was canceled, and years later, like a year and a half later, it was resurrected as a big budget, like funded by Universal movie.
Yep.
And it did very well, I remember, in the theater. And since then, it's become sort of this hope and dream that it will get remade and it'll get continued and that some broadcast company will pick it up.
People keep wanting that. I am not one of them, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Well, so I'm not one of them either. And I think that's what you thought I was going to – you didn't know I was going to say that. I liked the show as it is. And I think if they remade it or if they added on to it, it would lose. It would burn out.
Okay. I retract my previous statement, and I agree with you. Because I feel that that's a syndrome a lot of stuff goes through now is after a while, you just run too many seasons and you run out of a good story and it just kind of gets repetitive and boring.
Yeah.
Firefly being limited to one season it had and a movie, they created this universe that then you can expand in your own mind however you see fit.
Right.
And your, or at least my imagination, is awesome. And I just feel like if it went on too long, it wouldn't be as good.
I agree. So
that's part
sort
of what makes it so good is the limited amount of it that there is in the universe.
Right. And I actually, so I don't think Firefly is the best science fiction series ever. Then I say that because it only had...
Well, because that's Star Trek. TNG. We already knew that.
It only had one season, not even one full season, but it was really good. Like, it definitely had some concentration. I can't really say that there was an episode that I didn't like in Firefly. I guess before we get too far along, we should probably describe what it's about, right? Firefly, there was this war. It was like the Civil War, sort of, except it was between the Colonials and, like, what? Or the Federation and the Browncoats.
Yeah.
Browncoats were kind of like the South.
Basically, it was like big government, less government, and people were fighting about it.
Anyway, little government lost. Big government won.
Still think it was the losing side.
The wrong side.
Just quoted.
The captain of the Firefly, which is, or the Serenity rather, is
Firefly class ship. It's because its butt lights up like a firefly.
Right. So the captain, Malcolm Reynolds, was this captain in the brown coat movement or whatever, and he's like a smuggler now, trying to make
Some money after the war. Right.
Got to make some money. He takes on these passengers, and the passengers are runaways. Or stowaways, or whatever, fugitives from the government. Apparently, the government was experimenting on this guy's sister. She's now crazy, awesome, insane fighter
crazy
chick.
Crazy, awesome, insane.
Yeah, I mean, those are all things. And it's just the interaction between
she
really
is all of those things.
It's only like six or seven characters in the entire show that really are main characters, and it's just the interaction between
those.
There's
really only one character that you need to care about. Jane.
I'm like, is that Jane?
It's Jane.
I can say that they definitely didn't make the mistake that I feel a lot of science fiction shows do and have one episode dedicated to fleshing out one character too much. They did have like targeted episodes. You know, they had man at Canton, you know, man they call Jane. They had that episode.
Yeah. You would explain to me why there's a giant statue of you in the middle of town.
They had these episodes where they focused on one character or a set of characters, but I don't feel that I didn't know those characters before that episode.
They did very good character development in the short period of time they had.
I feel like even with all of that, their pacing was good enough. And I do enjoy Firefly. It is one of my most favorite. But I think Battlestar Galactica, which is next, I think Battlestar Galactica beat it in terms of quality.
I 100% agree with you. Let's go to Battlestar Galactica so it can get real.
Battlestar Galactica, again, we can't spend so much time on Battlestar Galactica
because we
will run out of time in the show. We may just gloss over it and then just do a So Say We All show, you know, next week or whatever. Battlestar Galactica started in 2003. It was a miniseries, a two-part miniseries that was based on the 1978 Battlestar Galactica series. Now, it's not based on it in story. It's based on it in, like, original conception. That's it.
Spiritual successor kind of deal.
Right, right. Or a spiritual, was it? Not a remake, but a...
Retelling?
A retelling, yeah. The original Battlestar Galactica, the Cylons were actually like reptile creatures that had built robots, and it was completely different. Anyway, the series started in 2004, ended in 2009 after the 2003 miniseries. It chronicles the voyage of the Battlestar Galactica, as well as the Colonial Fleet after the colonies have been destroyed by the Cylon menace. They look like us now.
Basically Terminators.
Yeah, they're pretty much Terminators, but they can think and they can have feelings and they want to love. And
I mean,
it's really
the Terminators with free will.
It's like Terminators that listen to the Beatles a lot. Yeah. that's what I'm going to go ahead and say. Anyway, it's awesome. And it didn't do this. It didn't do this monster of the week type of thing. Every story, every episode has a point and a place in the series.
Well, it was an earlier version of the type of series I realized I really like Game of Thrones and House of Cards. It's very political, and it has a lot to do with the individual characters' interactions. You don't need a monster of the week when everyone's the monster.
I agree. That's, yes, well said. It's got top-notch FX. It's got awesome acting, fantastic cast, thoroughly.
It has amazing speeches by Admiral Adama.
It feels like there's so many speeches in this show. It's great.
Honestly, you could just take all of Admiral Adama's speeches out and watch that, and that would be a good evening.
I think that he could talk anyone into doing anything.
Pretty much.
And it would be their choice.
So say we all.
Anyway, we're going to move on because Battlestar Galactica needs a lot more room, and we are sort of padded on time now. But Stargate Atlantis, 2004 to 2009. Stargate Atlantis was the sequel, sort of in tandem parallel show with Stargate SG-1.
It ran in the past couple seasons with SG-1.
It started at season 9 of Stargate SG-1, and it kept going after SG-1 was over.
Yes, it did.
And then it ended 5 seasons in, and it ended rather abruptly. If you remember.
Well, they had no spoil. This is a real spoil, but they had that one episode where they did it like in what was it, like CSI Miami type of style.
That's exactly. Yeah, they were spoofing. They were
which was
out.
Amazingly fun, by the way, to watch. And then suddenly
it was out
the next,
of the blue, though.
Yeah, no, like no one, like I didn't see it coming. But it was fun, and it made sense because it was an alternate reality, so it was an alternate form of shooting than telling the story. And then suddenly you had like the last episode, and that was it.
It's like they explained a lot of the story as they were walking down the hallway to the control room to go and do the last bit. They wrapped up like all of the story, and they didn't do a very good job of it, but they didn't have much time. This is the story of the crew that goes to the Atlantean or the ancient city of Atlantis, where the ancients came from. And there's a bunch of lore there, but it's pretty much Stargate SG-1 in the Pegasus Galaxy.
Right, with a different crew and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they go back and forth, and it's pretty cool.
I did find it very enjoyable. It's not quite on the level of SG-1, because that was just amazing, but it was good enough to watch and still enjoy the universe.
I feel it's for, if you liked SG, if you watch a series, like a sci-fi series, and you are okay with current technology, a lot of current technology, then SG-1's more for you. If you want a sci-fi series that pushes it on the we're using technology we don't understand buttons, then that's Stargate Atlantis. That's what I feel that was more like.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay, so the Doctor Who remake, or the Doctor Who continuation, 2005 to, I guess, today. We got Chris Eccleston, David Tennant, Matt Stone, Peter Capaldi? Anyway.
Sure, why not? Go for it.
We got the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th Doctor, I think. Fantastic.
Yeah, so I'd mentioned that I needed to start watching this, so I've been picking up a few episodes every now and then. What was it called? Dalek Asylum. Have you seen that episode?
No, that's like on the next burner. That's first episode of season 7, I think. I'm on the third episode of season 6. I am catching up.
Okay. That episode, I don't know like what the fandom actually thinks about it, but that's what actually concreted the remake for me. I really enjoyed it.
I've been enjoying the new Doctor Who again. I tried watching the old Doctor Who, and I did it. I can say I did it. I've got the badge, but
good job. We're all very proud of you.
It was not something that I think I'd do again. Huh?
Did you get Canine?
Yeah, but I mean, again, it's like, and I watched the Sarah Jane Chronicles, and I watched Torchwood, and I enjoyed a lot of those things for the tie-ins.
Yeah, Torchwood wasn't bad. It was okay.
I enjoyed the tie-ins to the new Doctor Who series for that. Though, you know what? I wouldn't watch the old Doctor Who again. It just didn't excite me.
You.
Nope.
Didn't excite you.
For those that don't know, Doctor Who is about following
Wait, there's people that don't know?
Yeah. Yeah, there are people that don't know.
Wow.
The Doctor is a Time Lord. He's this guy who can control time, sort of, in this flying police box that's a TARDIS, and you can watch it if you want more. But it's just watching him do his thing and try not to mess up the world and the universe and time.
Because that goes over so very well.
Heroes. Heroes came on in 2006 to 2010.
Heroes.
Here, I'll say this. I think season one was okay. Every season past that.
Yep, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Watch season one. Stop watching. Be happy.
It was this original series about superheroes and talented people that are gaining superpowers, coming out and experiencing that they have superpowers, and that was really cool. You know, it was really neat to see that take. But then they started to get they always had a comic book esque feel to it, and that's one of the things I really enjoyed about it until they went a little bit overboard, and I feel like. After season one, if they would have ended it in a little darker or a little better way in season one, they could have gone either way, just a little smidge either way. That would have been fine. Unfortunately, they kept it going in season two and season three and season four.
And you're tired of watching.
And you were tired at season two and a half, you know.
Yep.
They're doing Heroes Reborn, which is sort of a continuation. And I don't know what they're going to have in store for viewers. I hope it is not something like what they gave us for the last three seasons.
Yeah, I think we just pretty much summed it up. Watch season one. It was good. Everything after that, it's just downhill.
Right. Moving on, Fringe. Fringe ran from 2008 to 2013. This was a good series.
You liked it? I don't know, it's a little too silly for me, the science-y part.
I did that. Yeah, okay, so I will say this. They overload you with technobabble.
And it's technobabble, and it really gets to me, because they're acting like it's serious.
That's what Stargate did, too, but Stargate did it before we actually, like, could do or could explain some things, and you know they were okay. It was different when they did it. It was Geordi talking about something, or it was, you know, it was Scotty talking about technology. I don't know, that came off better.
You just jumped from Stargate to Star Trek, right?
Did I?
Nerd.
Okay, well, whatever. Star Trek.
That's
what I
meant.
Star
badge.
Trek. Again, the sunburn.
It's going straight to your head, man. Sun poisoning.
Fringe was about. Fringe was by J.J. Abrams. He had been fresh off of doing work for Lost, and I didn't really particularly like Lost. But
Lost? I went back and forth on it. My problem with Lost is it's just so long.
They didn't know what they were doing half the way, I feel.
Like, I wanted to know what the numbers were for. Like, maybe two episodes. Give me what the numbers are for. Don't wait an entire season.
Fringe was a little bit more, I'm going to say, grounded. It was a little more... It was Monster of the Week. Every week there was a different problem to solve. It was about this fringe division that took care of looking into unexplainable events and explaining it through technobabble with a really crazy LSD-tripping scientist, his son, an FBI agent, another FBI agent. It journeyed into time travel and alternate dimensions and timelines, futures and pasts, and, you know, just a lot of, you know, telepathy type of conversation. It's really, really good, but it did wander a little bit, so just be warned.
Well, like I said, it was good. Just realize, like we said, it's a lot of techno babble. You can't take it seriously. And that's the problem I have with it. It's hard for me not to.
Up next, we got Stargate Universe. It ran from 2009 to 2011. It was canceled after its first season.
And
its second season.
And that made me very sad because I was just getting into this one. But I get why they canceled it, because it was getting too Battlestar Galactica-ish, but it wasn't Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, it was trying to be real hard, and it just couldn't.
You couldn't compete with Battlestar Galactica then.
Right. It was... slated to have a movie, and that got canceled. It was the continuation after Stargate Atlantis. Subsequently, they announced Stargate Universe, and they canceled Stargate Atlantis. And a lot of the fans kind of boycotted Universe because of that. In fact, I believe Joe Flanagan, the guy that played Colonel Shepard, or Lieutenant Colonel Shepard, he was not happy about that and voiced it very adamantly. Not specifically against Universe, but against the creators canceling a show that had good ratings to start a show that they didn't know what they were going to get.
Right. And his, that doesn't make any sense to do something like that.
Right. And I agree. It doesn't really make any sense to do that. But again, it's their show. They're paying them, whatever. We're going to go ahead and end the segment with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is currently running. It was 2013, started last year. It's running present day. This is about, this is kind of capitalizing and milking the Marvel Universe.
That's exactly how I would phrase it. It's capitalizing and milking the fandom.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so
I wanted this to be good so bad.
I don't think it's really bad. It's just, there's a difference. If you look at every other series on our list, with the exception of one or two, they were all specifically on the science or the sci-fi channel or Sky One or whatever. They were all on these other, not ABC, not CBS, not TNT networks. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on ABC.
Yes, it is.
And it has to adhere to ABC guidelines. It also has to adhere to an entire, like, a giant backlog of material, like Thor's, you know, lore and Iron Man lore and all of the history for the Avengers.
But they do a good job with them.
Yeah, they did. Well, they did that. And I guess Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sort of goes off of the movies more than it does off of the actual comics or whatever. And that's fine.
Yeah, well, and that's what they're trying to do with it. It's kind of to help tie everything together.
The thing that I get watching this, and it's the same thing I got when I was watching the Winter Soldier, the new Captain America movie, is...
Which was awesome.
Where's Iron Man? Iron Man could just come in and fix this right now. Or where's Thor? Is Thor that busy he can't save the world this time? I mean, you know, that's how I kind of think about it. But
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can pretty much fix any of the problems.
I know. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it looks at this special team. It's like, you know, SEAL Team 6, but from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
They just solve problems, and they make horrible decisions, like bringing on, like, hackers and stuff. And
then they
having
find
this,
in a van.
Having people betray them and yet still let them work for them and trust them implicitly again. So anyway, there's that. We're going to go ahead and we're going to end this segment with a song, and then we're going to come back and end the show out. This is Solar Sailor, the Pretty Lights remix by Daft Punk. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And that was Solar Sailor, the Pretty Lights remix by Daft Punk. We are out of time.
Man,
we enjoyed
again.
It, though.
I always enjoy it.
It happens. This time keeps on slipping.
Time keeps on slipping away.
Into the future. Yeah, we're going to end the show, but you know what? Check us back next week from 9 to 10 p.m. next Wednesday. We're going to be here. I hope you're here, too. If you can't get there or whatever and you need a fix either before or after, anytime, really, you can check us out online. What's the website, Bear?
That website would be exppoints.com. Double tap the P.
You can also check us out on facebook.com/experiencepoints is the page, or the group is a page. It's a page, yeah. You could also go to youtube.com/theexppointschannel and look at all of the Let's Plays, any of the movie reviews or news or reviews that we've done on games and other stuff like that. We have a Google Plus, but it's too long to mention, so I'm not gonna. Again, just go to the exppoints.com page, scroll to the bottom, click on the social media links. We're going to be expanding the platform soon. It's going to be fantastico.
Bring out some new talent and everything. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, check us back. Until then, I've been MG.
And I've been Red Bear.
We're going to leave you with Throwing Fire by Ronald Jenkins. This is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.